Hello, this is Dr. Bonnie Feldman, and today we'll be mapping movement therapy related to autoimmunity on this 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today on the 15-Minute Matrix, I'll be talking with Dr. Bonnie Feldman, bringing the lens of an analyst, patient, and digital health consultant. Dr. Bonnie works with companies creating new products and services to help those with chronic autoimmune disease thrive. After being a physical therapy patient for over 30 years to help manage her own fibromyalgia, she was surprised to discover other forms of movement therapy such as Feldenkrais, Pilates, gyrotonic, and yoga therapy. And Dr. Bonnie wants to make sure that other patients do not repeat her myopic journey. Today, she will discuss the urgent need to focus attention on the musculoskeletal system and integrating and personalizing an exercise program across disciplines. Take a deep breath and let's dive in. Welcome, Dr. Bonnie. I'm so excited you're here. You know, when we're thinking about the skills section of the matrix, Dr. Bonnie, over on the right-hand side of the matrix, exercise often gets lumped into the just do it arena. And I'd love to speak with you today in a bit more specificity. And I'm wondering if we can first make some connections between exercise and the expression of autoimmune conditions, as that's one of your specialties.
Yes, I would think about it to broaden the context away from just the terminology of exercise in terms of a bigger picture of movement therapy. Because if you look at autoimmune disease, there's 100 different kinds. Some of them are better known than others. The better known ones would be things like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, and then the GI diseases, which would be Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. In all of these autoimmune diseases, whether they're directly musculoskeletally related or not, there is a musculoskeletal component of the chronic pain that goes along with all these diseases. So in the bigger picture of the world, there's different phrases that people, movement is great, you know, you need to keep moving, you know, move it or lose it,
right.
You know, lubricate the joints. And so that's where I would put a bigger importance on movement therapy for chronic autoimmune patients and those who have associated chronic pain.
I love that. And before we talk about what to do in terms of movement and movement therapy, can you speak a little bit more physiologically about what the movement can do for us as a mediator to mitigate some of the signs and symptoms that are experienced with autoimmune conditions?
Yes. And with that, let me share my own personal story and relate it to that. So I have fibromyalgia and markers for a variety of autoimmune-like conditions. And for 30 years, I was a very compliant patient, and I went to what I was supposed to do, which is physical therapy. Physical therapy is limited in that it only works on one area of the body. And when you ask about the physiology of exercise relative to autoimmune disease and chronic pain, the goal is to look at the body as a system and to raise your endorphins, which makes you happier, but also improve your overall circulation, cardiovascular health, you know, and other general overall body performance that will increase your mobility and reduce your symptoms of this chronic pain associated with autoimmune disease. So it's not just specifically around joints or ligaments. There's connective tissue, there's fascia, there's a lot of layers that are involved physiologically in getting the benefits of exercise or movement therapy.
As you're talking, Dr. Bonnie, I'm wondering about two particular nodes of the soup or the central part of the matrix in relation to the benefits that you are speaking about with movement therapy. And the first one, and maybe we'll just pause after that first one, is detoxification. And wondering if the movement therapy, breath work, whatever it is that we're going to be talking about that you highlight, helps with that arena as well that needs to be supported in the patient with chronic autoimmunity. Do you see detoxification benefits with movement therapy?
I'm not sure we would call them detoxification benefits, but it could fall into that category. If you think about yoga, for example, and you wonder what inversions do. Mm. So supposedly yoga inversions help to balance your system in a way that's, you know, different. Now, does that count as detoxification? It could, or maybe it doesn't. But there's other movement therapies that take that same concept of yoga inversions, like inversions on a gyrotonic machine. Right. So there's a lot of, it's still anecdotal evidence that, you know, being in a different posture other than head up and feet down can reset some of, maybe it's detoxification, maybe it's the hormones, maybe it's just the balance that's related to the vagus nerve. It's not totally proven what exactly it is, but it does, these inversions in particular, in all of these movement therapies, do improve this balance, whether it's in detoxification or whether it's in your hormones and neurotransmitters looking at your matrix.
Got it. I mean, what I was thinking about in particular, and I think you spoke into that beautifully, if we're thinking about detoxification, is even respiratory support and what can happen when we shift our breathing, which would certainly happen in those inversions. What do we know, if anything, about some of this movement therapy in relation to immune expression, let's say modulating the memory cells and the cytokine activity that could happen in an immune challenged individual? Is there any research about movement therapy and immunity?
A lot of the research around movement therapy is mostly related to chronic pain and reducing chronic pain in one way or another, without diving into particular, we'll just call them scientifically validated pathways, because the newer kinds of movement therapy that have sprung out of PT, for example, yoga therapy, which is different than yoga, it uses a combination of physical therapy, meaning working on one particular area, but then principles of yoga, which are based more on a systems biology level, to get the kind of changes you're asking. But in terms of deep scientific validation for Feldenkrais or gyrotonic or even Qigong or Tai Chi, which are other movement therapies, there isn't really large scale, you know, randomized clinical trials that look at the exact scientific benefits of each one of these because they haven't been used and accepted at that level yet.
Right. I love this because this is where I say people fall into the evidence trap, that because there is not evidence related to it, that we don't employ it in our clinical care. And what you're speaking to is the larger benefit. And I really appreciate the different modalities that you've been weaving throughout our conversation. Maybe we can talk about some of those, your favorite forms of movement therapy for those who have autoimmunity. You've mentioned so far, Dr. Bonnie, yoga, gyrotonics, Feldenkrais, Qigong, Tai Chi. Let's talk into some of those a bit more.
The one that I found to be very effective, and I only found it actually after being a patient for 35 years, is Feldenkrais. And there was recently an article in the New York Times that talked about it and has somewhat improved the awareness. But it looks at a systems biology approach to the world, and unlike rigorous exercise or even regular yoga, it works on a principle of resetting the nervous system, which I guess could come back to your detoxification and your hormone right. transmitter in your matrix. And it does that in what seems to some, including me, to be a counterintuitive fashion. So for those of us who have worked out and exercised with specific intent and pushing ourselves beyond the limits, like I used to do when I went to the bar method 4 or 5 times a week. Feldenkrais is the exact opposite. It's all about relaxing into your body, accepting yourself for what is, and not pushing through exercise. And intuitively, that never made sense to me, but it does work to begin to reset your nervous system, which for those autoimmune patients who have had chronic pain for many years is, we'll just say, altered at best.
It's really amazing to think about the connections and what you're talking about with the mind, spirit, emotions arena and just this level of acceptance that movement therapy can induce, so to speak, so that we soften our response to what is, which in turn changes the whole chemical makeup of the body. So Feldenkrais for you sounds like it did that. Where do some of these other forms of therapy fall into that arena in particular?
The next one would be a gyrotonic, which is a machine where you have lessons one-on-one, or you can have them in groups. But once again, like yoga with inversions, there's an opportunity in this gyrotonic machine to do these inversions with weights, which also helps to reset your nervous system. So, for example, when I was having more severe chronic pain related to a different kind of episode, I found pain relief in doing both yoga inversions and gyrotonic inversions. This was before I had found Feldenkrais. Feldenkrais has helped to reset my nervous system, so I don't have those kind of stress response in your memory that many people with autoimmune and chronic pain have for a lifetime.
It's incredibly fascinating for me to think about how bio-individual our movement therapy has to be. Again, as I started out our conversation, exercise often falls into the just do it arena. Exercise, get out there. I think a lot of people with autoimmunity do push themselves, like you were saying you did with your bar method classes. What is your perspective on rigorous exercise related to the patient with autoimmune conditions?
Having learned the hard way, I would say rigorous exercise is probably not the first or best plan. And what seems to be needed, if you look at population health and reducing incidence and prevalence of chronic pain and the economic burden that it puts on the system, is experts, whether it's coaches or physiatrists or just movement therapy experts, who can help a patient create their own best personalized program, whether that's pushing themselves one day but relaxing another, whether that's a combination of restorative yoga, is it Bikram yoga, is it Kundalini, is it a mix of those different kinds of yogas? And then where do you put in the stretching? Where does the fascia component of this movement therapy fit into the overall bigger picture program? And what is the importance of breath? And breath cannot be overemphasized, because only 2 years ago did I learn how to breathe. I don't know what I was doing the rest of the time, but it was very challenging to learn how to coordinate your breath with your movement to get the effect that we want in your matrix to get the detoxification, to get the balance of the hormones and the neurotransmitters through the breath work that is used along with movement therapy.
Yeah, I think breathing is so, it's like water. We overlook it or we just say, yes, yes, do it. And it's such an important part of acceptance, of receptivity, of how we bring in and let go of what we don't need. And stretching as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts on stretching in relation to these forms of movement therapy, but also in relation to managing chronic illness or chronic autoimmunity.
Stretching is overlooked, and it's like breathing. We take it for granted. Everyone says, well, be sure and stretch before and after. But what does that mean for an autoimmune patient with chronic pain who has different parts of their bodies that hurt in different times and different days? So once again, it's really important to find a coach or a guide or someone that can help to create a personalized stretching program that has to be modified and updated regularly based upon how the body changes relative to the disease and age.
Such an important topic, Dr. Bonnie. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Thank you.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at 15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to be notified each time there is a new podcast episode ready, please go to 15minutematrix.com/notify. Plus, I'd love to hear from you. How are you enjoying the podcast? Who and what would you like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix? Go ahead and email us at ask@15minutematrix.com and let me know.